Sean Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I do appreciate it very much. Kurt Rogers should be joining us here in a minute for our Monday Mortgage Minute. We'll get an update of what's going on in the mortgage world. And as I always say, and I mean it, Kurt is always willing to sit down and just go over where you're at with your current mortgage, if you have one, and make a decision on, you know, what to do from there. It's always with Kurt, no pressure. You just decide what you want to do, and he'll take it from there. So I do actually, you heard Bob Duco a minute ago, as we go through the hour here, I do have a little YouTube skit that somebody did that imitates AOC, that did a fabulous job, by the way, of imitating what Bob was just talking about in regards to AOC's claims of, you know, being in the Capitol and being afraid for her life and this, that, and the other thing. So as we go through this hour, I'll do my best to actually play that as we get some of our guests, you know, taken care of, and we talk to them. It's actually pretty good, so you want to stay tuned for that, especially after we get done with Kurt. And again, we've got Dr. Green coming on. We're going to talk about boys, school, the Chicago Teachers Union, their vote to refuse in-person classes and continue with remote instruction. And her question is, has the public turned on teachers? So we'll talk to her as soon as we come back after talking to Kurt. Kurt Rogers, though, our Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt, what's going on, sir?
Not a whole lot, John. How's it going with
you? I'm doing very well. How was your weekend, sir?
You know, it was kind of nice, except for all that wind yesterday and then that stupid football game we had to watch.
I know. The wind is awful, by the way. You've heard me say this before. As a Colorado native, I've been here my whole life. I love everything about this place. Well, a few things I don't. But the wind, when it comes to weather, the wind is the one thing, even after all these years, I just can't handle. I hate it.
Yeah, we saw those fires that just jumped up, and it's all because of the wind. I'm the same way. I don't like the wind.
I don't either. All right, talk to us about the mortgage world. What's going on? There's predictions that, you know, rates are going to jump way up. What are your thoughts?
No. You know, that's just people trying to get you to take advantage of the rates being low now, and that, like, they're going to go away
in the
next week. That's not going to happen. Rates are going to stay there. There's way too many things that the government's doing to keep the rates down. They're buying $120 billion a month in bonds. So those rates aren't going to move.
That's
the
a lot.
The fund rate doesn't affect mortgages, so it's the bond market.
Hey, you know, here's something else I hear a lot, Kurt, is, you know, well, you know, if I refinance, it's going to cost me something to refinance. I just don't think it's worth it. Well, okay, so how do you dispel some of those, I call them myths, Kurt, because typically speaking, those folks are wrong because they really haven't sat down and looked at it.
They might not be wrong, depending on who they go to. But in most cases, with almost every one of our customers that I know of, within the first year, you've paid back any cost. So the rule of thumb is, if you can recoup your closing costs within the first 18 months, you're fine. But closing costs are going to be, you're going to pay for an appraisal, you're going to pay for title work, and you're going to pay for underwriting fee. That might be $2,000, might be $3,000. Anything above that, you shouldn't be paying. Unless you're buying the rate down.
And by the way, you're typically not putting that out of pocket either, are you?
No. You're going to skip at least one. Most cases, you're going to skip 2 months' payment. So if your payment's $2,000, you're saved $4,000.
Right.
So if you're up $4,000 and it costs you $3,000, from day one, you're up the money.
I think
saving $300 to $500 a month.
The other misconception I hear, I think, from Kurt, or I hear Kurt at times is, well, you know, I don't want to increase my debt. I don't want to increase the length of my mortgage. You know, I don't want to do any of those things. Well, the reality is you can tailor a plan really to meet whatever need they've got. And if they want to keep the exact same payment but just reduce the rate and reduce their time, you can do that.
That's a justifiable reason to not refinance it right now because of where rates are. You can take a loan that you've had for 3 years and do a 25, 27-year loan, still drop your payments $200 a month, and still skip 2 months. Yeah, a lot of people are doing that. They'll do a 22-month or a 23-month. You can customize it out any way.
Yeah, nothing says you have to do either a 15 or 30,
no.
Right?
No, we've been doing that now for about 18 months, and it is quite popular because people don't want to, you know, they don't want to go back to the 30, and I get that. So the banks are customizing it to fit the term they want and still lower their payment.
Makes sense. How do they get a hold of you, Kurt?
720-895-0500, then go to our website at aimortgage.net.
All right, what's on tomorrow at Haystack?
We got a couple doctors that are going to talk to people about sleep apnea and how that can be taken care of. There's some great technologies out there.
Okay, good stuff. Kurt, as always, I appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, John.
Have a great night. Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage. He's up next. Again, 720-895-0500. All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I do appreciate it very much. Our next guest, Dr. Vimal Green, is with us, and we've had her on before. Dr. Vimal, welcome back. How are you?
Well, hello, my friend John. I am glad to be back. Thank you for having me.
It's a joy. I had a great time with you last time, and looking forward to talking to you today. The Chicago's Teachers Union is refusing in-person classes. And real quick, everybody, I said this earlier, but I want to make sure I say it again. Dr. Green is author of Please Teach Me Like I'm a Boy, 10 Steps to His Success in School and in Life. But let's talk about the Chicago's Teachers Union.
Yes, yes. It's a shame because it's hurting our children. Our children want to go back to school. Lord knows their parents want them to go back to school. And unfortunately, the union doesn't speak for the majority of their teachers. Most teachers want to go back. It is hard on them teaching this hybrid learning or virtual learning because their hearts are broken because they know their children aren't learning, especially our little boys. Oh, my goodness, this is not the way they learn.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute because you and I, you know, we've talked before and you know that I am a big believer and we need a complete revamp of our education system in this country. And I also know, and I'm a big one on, every kid doesn't learn exactly the same way. In fact, in this case, girls learn differently than boys. We've known this for a very long time. And yes, Dr. Green, there are two genders. I believe that wholeheartedly. And it not only has to do with our sexual orientation, but it has to do with the way our mental capacity is and how we learn mentally. Am I right?
Absolutely right. I used to teach biology, and there are boys and there's girls. And you get right down to the cellular level, and I don't care how you dress on the outside or what you add or what you cut off, you're still either a boy or a girl. And it does also translate to your brain as well. Boys, as you said, boys learn differently than girls.
Okay, so talk about that for a minute. I am not you. I mean, I'm a old automotive car guy that, you know, got into this by chance. And, you know, I read a lot. I learn a lot. I've got some of my own, you know, thoughts and some common sense and so on. And, you know, it doesn't take much to figure out who's a boy and who's a girl. But when it comes to the mental side, Dr. Green, that's something that, you know, I am not a, you know, psychologist. I am not, you know, in tune with everything that happens inside of our brains when it comes to a boy versus a girl. I do know from raising kids, you know, over my adult life, that they are completely different when it comes to even how you discipline them. So I do know there's some definite, you know, learning, you know, not even just styles, but, you know, they're two separate individuals. I realize all kids are individuals and they're separate from one another. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to lump them all into one or separate all of them, Dr. Green, but I also know that when it comes to girls versus boys, for example, for everybody listening, raising boys, Dr. Green, they could be in the worst of fights. They could be at fisticuffs. They could be wrestling. I mean, they could be enemies. And 10 minutes later, they say they're sorry. They shake hands and life is normal again. That does not happen with girls, by the way.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Girls will, not only will they be angry that day, but 5 years later, they
yes.
will still remember the fact
yes.
that you did this to them. Not
yes.
only to them, but they will also involve their sisters, their mothers, their cousins. It'll be a family feud.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I am assuming that's not just because of how they're raised, but that literally is how they're wired.
That is how they're wired, exactly. Girls' emotional memory is a lot longer and a lot stronger than emotional memory in boys. That's why boys can have a knockdown, drag-out fight, and then half an hour later, they're sitting there laughing and talking with each other. This is in my office as an assistant principal. I'm wondering, wait a minute, you were just trying to beat the brains out of your friend. Now you're sitting there laughing and joking with them. Their emotional memory, yeah. They forget and they forgive very easily.
Okay, so let's transfer that in what you just said into whether it be virtual learning or in-class learning. What are the difference between between the two? And again, I'm one that says we need a complete revamp of the system because we've got sort of this one size fits all, and you and I both know that doesn't work either.
Doesn't work. Boys need movement. And when they're sitting in front of that computer screen, I don't care how much you try, teacher, you can't do but so much to get him up and moving. You have to be able to capture his attention. You're competing with those video games that's waiting for him out in the living room. So when he's sitting in front of that computer, he's not focusing many times. His attention is distracted because boys notice a lot. That's just how they're made.
Yep.
They're very distractible. Now, I'm speaking in generalities. There are some boys who are able to thrive and able to do well, but the majority of them have a very hard time. Plus, they're left alone. They're not really being monitored, and some of our boys really need that monitoring to help them stay on track.
Yeah, we are, and this is a well-known fact, Dr. Green, at least I feel it is, you know, we men, it's partially why you ladies are as good-looking as you are, I believe God made that way, because we are very visual, sight-oriented creatures, where you guys are more on the emotional side, right?
On the emotional and the feeling side as well, because as you said, that's just how we're made. That's just how God made us, and that's why men make better guards than women. You get us in a store, you give us a good book, and you could steal the whole store.
Right.
But men notice everything.
Right.
And the same thing with that little boy sitting in class. He doesn't need to be medicated. He doesn't need to be evaluated for ADD, HD, VAD, whatever. He just needs to be taught the way he learns.
Okay, so when it comes to putting them back into the classroom and talking about what's happening, not just in Chicago, by the way, Dr. Green, this really is happening in a lot of places across the country where we've got teachers' unions, which I don't really understand what their end game is, and maybe you can explain that to me, because to me, if you don't put some kids back in school before long, and people start noticing that, wait a minute, we got all this brick and mortar that my tax dollars are going to support, and if my kid's not going to go to school, why am I paying these taxes? I think this could very easily backfire on them. I don't understand what their end game is here and what they're trying to accomplish.
I don't understand either. As I said, I think their constituency, most of the teachers want to go back. They miss their children. They got into this profession because they love children. And being isolated or seeing them once a week in a hybrid learning kind of environment, that is not what they signed up for. It's very stressful. It's very hard, not just on the children, but on the teachers as well. Unfortunately, the unions, I believe it's a power game.
Yeah.
It's a power, you know, a power struggle between them and the power and the legislature.
Well, you know what? I think I do know their end game. It's money. What they're really forcing upon even the federal government right now as we speak is they want all these classroom/upgrades and things, which, by the way, you and I both know doesn't necessarily mean that's where the money goes. They're just looking for the pot of gold that they can then disperse out among all of their, the admin side of the fence, because let's face it, the teachers won't get anything when this is all said and done. They're looking at that end of things. Yeah, a school here and there might get a ventilation upgrade or something along those lines, but let's face it, this is a power money grab.
Education does not require a lot of money. All you need is a dedicated teacher who loves children, who wants to work and wants their children to learn. All these other kinds of things, the frills that perhaps the unions are looking for, it is not necessary. Those children are protected. The Pediatric Association even said that children have such a minuscule chance of either contracting the virus or even passing it on. And teachers, if they're protected and they're doing safe distancing and wearing their masks, they're going to be healthy. They're going to be strong.
Yep.
Get those children back in school, please.
Yeah, I've said it all along, Dr. Green, especially once we got into this thing about a month, so really about 11 months ago, I basically said, and we started to even get some data back then, that kids were not going to be vulnerable to this. They weren't going to have any issues. And in today's world, I'll continue to say it, they've got a higher chance of having an accident and dying on a school bus than they do of COVID.
These babies are killing themselves from depression. They're traumatized from all this. And truly, the cure is worse than the problem. These children talking about learning loss during the summer, how about keeping them out of school for almost a year?
Yeah.
It'll be a year.
It's been a year next month.
Yes, a year next month.
Yeah.
And for some of these children, especially in some of these outer areas where they don't have the technology or they don't have the networking to be able to learn, if their parents haven't gone out and gotten them some worksheets or taught them themselves, those children are at such a disadvantage. And I'm thinking especially of our boys, especially our black and brown boys.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I could see, Dr. Green, and I don't think I'm wrong in saying this, that this is one of those situations where there are going to be some families, some areas of the country where the remote learning, they might do very well and they don't even notice any differences, although I think that's a stretch. But for the most part, they can get through with that and it's not a big deal. On the same token, there's going to be some other areas where folks maybe don't have that same advantage, much to what you just said a moment ago, rural areas and even parts of certain cities. And, you know, mom and dad have to be gone all day working because they have no choice. So really, at the end of the day, we are putting, this is where I'm going with this, we're putting a bigger chasm between the haves and have-nots by actually keeping them at remote learning. Am I right?
That achievement gap is growing. It is. And it's growing not just boy-girl, but it's also growing socially, economically, and it's also growing racially. There was a study done that a lot of black teenagers are learning not on computers, but they're trying to learn and do their lessons on cell phones.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's so sad. It's so criminal. So, teachers' unions, please listen to your teachers. Listen to the ones who voted you in and paid pay their dues. They want to go back to school as well.
All right, folks, folks listening, Dr. Green, tell them how they can find you.
I'm on theboysinitiative.org. I'm the executive director. I'm also my book, Please Teach Me Like I'm a Boy, is available on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. Parents, become an advocate for your children, especially for your boys. Get yourself educated and learn what it is that your sons need.
Dr. Vermel Green, thank you so much. It's a joy having you. And again, I'll have you back. This is fabulous. I appreciate all your work.
John, thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome.
Take care now.
Thank you very much. And she's great, by the way, folks. And get that book. There is a huge difference, as we just talked, when it comes to boys versus girls and the learning and the teaching thereof. And we really need to start focusing on some of that, or we're already behind as far as I'm concerned in education. And you guys all know my feelings on this end of things. We need a revamp, and it needs to come sooner rather than later. Purify Chevrolet is coming up next. If you're looking for a newer used vehicle, and we talked about this earlier when we did the car reviews that we do, hey, they can get most anything you want. It's just not Chevrolet product out there. If there's something that you've been wanting, something you've been yearning for, they can most likely find it. So give them a call. Find out how that works. Find them at purifychevrolet.com or 303-659-8311.
Hi, this is Marie with KLZ, and I just want to say on a personal note how impressed I am with Purifoy Chevrolet. Something we pride ourselves on at KLZ is we never advertise somebody without meeting them face-to-face and really feeling confident that they will take good care of our listeners. And I've never been in an auto dealer like Purifoy Chevrolet, and the reason is Rolly Purifoy. I know he would never say this about himself because he's a very humble man, but he holds himself personally to such an incredibly high standard that his example permeates the entire business. He was walking us through the building and there were these really nice clean ceiling tiles above my head, and he made some comment about how he had installed them himself. And the same with his stunning showroom has a new floor that he personally installed. And I think when you have a leader who cares about those details, it affects the entire atmosphere of the business.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, they would love to help you. I should say Al would love to help you with your financial planning, and that's what he does. He's an advisor and will help you and teach you the difference between wealth accumulation versus planning, and there is a big difference between those two. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
Your retirement plan doesn't need to be complicated. Al Smith doesn't use fancy software to create 20-page reports full of charts and graphs. Instead, he meets you with his 15 years of experience, a calculator, and some basic information about the money you've already saved. He wants you to walk away from that first meeting feeling confident instead of confused. At Golden Eagle Financial, Al believes your foundational retirement plan should be simple. Look at how much money you have now, estimate how much your investments are likely to grow over the next few years, and decide how you want to pull that money out so it lasts as long as you need it to. Then, once you have your fundamental retirement plan in place, Al will talk to you about planning ahead for unforeseen events. Schedule a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial now and take the mystery out of retirement planning. KLZradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Appreciate you joining us today. And our next guest joining us now, who's been on before with us as well, and I appreciate Michael joining us. Michael Beatrice joining us today, a COVID expert. And let's talk about where we're at stats-wise. You're our stat guy, Michael. I always appreciate you joining us. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
All right, so let's talk about, I just had a guest on talking about getting kids back into school, brick and mortar, you know, getting things back on track. And again, I'm a guy that feels like we need to, you know, revamp education the way we do things currently. But right now, let's face it, we have not figured out this virtual learning and it, you know, some kids do well, other kids don't do so well. Bottom line is we've got to get things back to normal, quote unquote. I feel like, Michael, we could do that today, but yet we haven't been able to turn that back on.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, there was a great study that came out last week. Norway did it, and they studied a bunch of schools that had no, like, pre-COVID protocols, meaning no masks, no social distancing, just regular stuff.
Right.
No incidents have occurred. And we've had no incidents occurring in general anywhere in the world with face-to-face learning. This is the craziest thing where we are when you've got San Francisco and Chicago suing their own ISDs.
Right.
this is getting nuts. Like, from the first time that you and I spoke, where this thing has evolved to.
That's unreal, Michael. I mean, I just every morning I see something different that comes out, you know, in regards to somebody's, you know, prediction and, you know, all of these different things. And again, I will continue to say that I feel like we have literally let those individuals that have wanted to be in control for a very long time, i.e. the medical community, we have literally unleashed them. We've let that genie out of the bottle. And Michael, I'm not sure now we're ever going to get it back because we've given these people power that they now are just drunk for.
You know, it's not just one political party. I
mean, no, it's both.
You know, you just don't have enough. I've been very impressed with Rand Paul. It seems like the only senator that's taking a stand. And you got a couple of governors, but I'm so perplexed at how we're spending time on a impeachment for a guy that's not even president.
Agreed.
When we've got this crisis going on, it's crazy.
Agreed.
But listen, run through some numbers for you real quick. I want to go on a record and say the pandemic as we knew it is on its way out. It really is.
And real quick, and you'll share the data with us, Michael. But you're basically confirming what I've been saying now for, gosh, probably the last couple of months. And as we get into the warmer weather, I think it's even going to continue to even get more so that way. But give us the numbers.
Well, so we are down in hospitalizations nationwide. We're down about 40% over the last 30 days. That's huge. That's very significant.
Wow.
When you consider that a lot of the hospitalizations are with and not from COVID, meaning they're people that might test positive, but they're in for something else, and I can guarantee there's a lot of that data. So about a third of the hospitalizations are that, which puts us at about a 5% level nationwide. Our fatalities are going to be dropping soon because they lag hospitalizations, but between the immunity that we've got, we have to have half the population that's been infected at this point. Some people will say over 60, but let's say half. Between that and vaccines, your state is doing great with respect to vaccinating the elderly. They're at about 50% right now. That's a very strong number, one of the highest in the country. And so when you think about the winter curve going away,
right,
the vaccinating the elderly, the existing immunity that would have from just having half the population infected, we're really out of this thing. And the fact that we just, you know, I can kind of see, I think we're in masks for the rest of the year in most places. I really think that's going to stick. But the fact that we've got, the fact that we aren't following Iowa, right, with what Iowa did yesterday, which is basically remove all restrictions that are COVID-related, hopefully other states are going to follow that.
Well, it's interesting, too, and I kind of feel like, and again, you tell me whether you think I'm right or wrong, but I was reading Denver Gazette, one of our local online papers here this morning, and talking about how this was the headline. Experts say forecasting COVID-19 will be tougher in 2021 than in 2020, which, by the way, I disagree with because of what you just said a moment ago. This article goes on to talk about how the initial estimates for Colorado we would have as many as 8,000 dead. And it's even debatable, Michael, whether we had half that amount because of the comorbidity and other things that they're throwing into the death count even here in Colorado. So my point is this. I almost feel like because a lot of these forecasters were so wrong. I mean, this is a 50% accuracy right now in this one particular article that I'm reading to you. So these guys have been dead wrong all along. But I almost feel like so that they can prove they're right, they're going to carry this thing out as long as they can because they don't want to be wrong.
I think you're right. I think with a lot of people, there's still a lot of doubling down on this. I mean, we're spending, I don't know if you saw that, how much is allocated, but it's tens of billions of dollars to, quote, make schools safe for kids to return.
Yes, I did see that, which is really an upgrade of items, Michael, that you and I both know aren't going to have, diddly squat when it comes to what goes on with COVID in those schools. Everything from ventilation systems to I have no idea what their plans are, but none of this stuff is going to make any difference.
Money. It's the most wasteful thing. We're going to have more kids die in swimming pools.
Well, more kids dying on the bus, Michael, than we will of this.
Than of COVID. And we've got 95% of teachers or so. It's way over 90% of teachers are not in at-risk categories. And if you're not in an at-risk category, minus outliers, which that's real.
Yes.
There are some of those. But you can't manage a whole population around outliers.
No,
either.
Thank you, Michael. Yes, I agree. I mean, and what everybody, for what those of you listening, what I would consider, and Michael does too, an outlier is, that 30-something that ends up with COVID and then dies, or that teacher that gets COVID and dies. I mean, the ones, Michael, that we actually see in the news, because those are the ones that are actually making news, not everybody else that hasn't ever had any issues and or that just ends up with the sniffles. We don't hear about them. It's for some odd reason, this country, coast to coast, we're just, you talk about the dirty laundry media just focusing on the negative. Man, it's on steroids right now.
Yeah, do you know that there's one of the chapters in my book about the media is called Dirty Laundry?
No, I didn't.
The name of the chapter.
There you go. I mean, it's so true, though. I mean, it's the old song, let's just go share the, let's go find the dirty laundry. That's what people want to hear. Basically, let's give them what they want to hear. And that's what the news media is doing right now. And unfortunately, they're just stirring the fear pot more and more by doing so.
Right, and it's why polling still has people skittish, or the polling is showing that people are still nervous about this. And as long as people are nervous about this,
yep,
things aren't going to return back to normal.
No, agree.
Unless you've got it. And you know what else is alarming about the school situation is, I actually just learned this a couple weeks ago, Florida's got something like 99.8% of schools open. What I didn't realize is it's only got 50% attendance. Only about 50% of those kids in Florida are attending class face-to-face. I know that's true in Texas, where I live, but I didn't know that in Florida. And then the kids that are there are masked up. And so if you know anything, if you followed this, when teachers are remote learning, they're really, the focus is on the remote. Mm-hmm. The focus is on the laptop. And so the kids are just along for the ride. And so parents are like, this is a waste. I'm not even going to send my kid. And so until you've got requirements to get kids back, and there's probably liability issues, I don't know. This thing is a mess, John.
No, Michael, I agree. And I really, a year ago, I would not have predicted this. I thought, okay, we'll run into this, 60, 90 days at best. We'll get back to normal, get things rolling along. I would have never in my wildest dreams predicted what has gone on this past now year.
Yeah, and this school year is gone. So there's really, we're past the point, it's February. They're still negotiating. That puts us into March at the
right,
earliest.
We're done.
We're done this year. This academic year is done. Kids have basically regressed and lost. The economic issues aside, the collateral damages associated with the lockdowns are crazy. But the school thing at this point, I was cracking up. You probably were too, to hear that Chicago,
yes,
and San Francisco are suing their
yes,
school district.
Yes. It's unbelievable. It's just, to me, it's just utter nonsense. And I almost feel like, and I will continue to say this, I do feel like COVID was used in very evil ways as far as, you know, pushing things through more quickly than maybe they need to. That includes some of the, you know, gene therapies that we have now, because they're not vaccinations, but some of the gene therapies we have now, all the way to the way some things are getting funded, you know, all the way to you name it, Michael. I mean, to me, this thing has been, you know, literally politicized to the point, and the fear mongering that has gone on from politicians to the news media, it's to the point now, Michael, where unless I meet somebody else that's like-minded like me, you can't even pass somebody walking down a sidewalk because people are scattering like rats when you walk down the sidewalk.
Yeah, you know, and again, a key takeaway for your listeners, for everybody, is this thing is really, really winding down fast. Hospitalizations and cases are
dropping. It's falling off like a rock, right?
And when you're vaccinating at the rapid rate that we are, it's not perfect, but it's not bad. The rapid rate that we're getting, particularly, again, your state's one of the top states in the country at vaccinating the elderly, this thing is just going to run out of places spread before long, and that's really, really good news for everybody.
I agree, and the faster we can get things back to normal, the faster we get back to normal, the better is what I was going to say. But Michael, a question I have for you, and I know you don't have a crystal ball, but will we ever is the question now.
Well, I do think we will. No, I do think we will. I think it's going to take just a couple states to lift their mask mandates and then see that nothing really happens. I think you'll have to see some schools go back completely face-to-face. The problem with the school thing is that nobody's going to force kids back into class. It's going to continue to be optional for quite a while, for sure this school year. What we really need is like sort of population confidence, consumer confidence in this thing. And the only way to do it is encourage people to look at data and listen to people like you, where you can see that this thing is really winding down.
The problem though, Michael, and you know, I get it. You know, you're a voice, I'm a voice. We do our best to try to get this out. But you know, I'm not a national news media source that a lot of people tune into, which why they do, I can't answer that, because they don't really study and read and think through the things that, you know, you and I are talking about. So my point is, until those mass media giants start promoting the same thing you and I are during this segment today, it isn't going to change.
No doubt you're right. No doubt that's where it all comes from.
I wish that wasn't the case. I mean, I wish more people would listen to folks like you and me and gain their information that way versus what they're doing, because we just give out the raw data and here's where we're at. I don't put any of the emotion, you know, into it. If anything, I go the other direction emotionally, because I think it's all a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, and for my purposes, you could read my whole book and not even know who I voted for. I didn't make this a political angle.
Which it doesn't need to be. This is literally about data.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's where, you know, you can only make these civil liberties arguments if the data doesn't support it. So you have to start with, to me, you know, sort of the facts and the data, and it's how do you interpret that. The problem, John, right now is that we've got an environment where they're trying to squeeze this. If you look at, like, people like Fauci and the CDC director, mm-hmm. and even this new HHS guy that came out of California, I'm watching these interviews over the last week. They're trying to squeeze COVID down to like an absolute zero before we can get going.
Which
and
we can't do.
And that's not ever going to happen.
No,
so
it's not.
So it's got to get down to something that's I'd say livable. But livable, there is a number that's livable, right? Within something like, you know, 5% of all cause deaths being...
Michael, let's face it. Your data proves it's been livable since last April. I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know, mean or rude here, but literally your data proves, literally, if you look at the actual death rates and what could actually happen if you do end up with COVID, it's been livable literally since last April.
Right. I mean, what we should have done really, I think there's a lot of forgiveness that we can have for what decisions that were made in March and April. I do. By May 1st, it was pretty darn clear.
Yes.
And so, you know, by May 1st, what we really should have done is sort of go back to normal. But I'm going to caveat that. I've got 89-year-old parents in Michigan, and I still want them to be cautious and not
agree.
Do too much until they
agree.
Get back.
But, you know, so, but by the way, Michael, I guarantee you, you're the same when it comes to the flu and other things they could potentially catch, because I'm the same way. I've got elderly parents as well, and it's the same situation. It's like, Mom, Dad, be careful. You know, it's just kind of the way it is, period. I mean, even, Michael, when it comes to driving, which we know your folks and mine have a higher chance of dying in an auto accident than any of the other diseases we could talk about combined.
No doubt, and I treat COVID with a lot more respect than I do the flu with respect to my, you know, elderly
agree.
People. You,
agree.
You would have to do that. But I'll tell you this, my I've got a 20-year-old son at University of Oklahoma. him and three of his roommates all got COVID last week. They're all quarantining together. They all got COVID-19. They all tested positive, and they're slightly symptomatic, like, you know, fatigued and a scratchy right. throat or taste and smell. But that's what happens if you're not really at risk. You know, it's an outlier. You have mild conditions, and then you feel ready to take on the world because you're pretty much done with it. To Rand Paul's point, once you get it, why do you need to be vaccinated?
Agree.
You've got
Agree.
Stronger antibodies than you would after a vax.
Agree. Question for you, and I know you don't have this answer, so I'm going to throw it at you and maybe see if you can't come back to me with us at some point. I would love to know the data on the genetics of certain families and why some families have a harder time with COVID than others. And to me, it's simply certain genetics do better with COVID than others. That's my opinion, but I don't have any data to back that up.
Well, what I do know, I can share a little bit. So one thing we do know is that the genealogy with people that live, let's take the Far East, but for this purpose, let's take South Korea and Japan.
Okay.
You've got a high smoking population in Japan and an older population in Japan, but they're very there's no obesity there. They're at like 4% obesity, whereas the U.S.
Right.
is in the mid-30s.
Right.
Obesity is very not well aligned with COVID-19. And the other thing is there's a thought that there's some kind of probably T-cell type of immunity because it's a coronavirus and they're from the Far East, so you've got that.
Mm.
The high comorbidities associated with COVID-19, if you're young, meaning you're not elderly, obesity is number one. The other ones are things like hypertension is very big, respiratory conditions. They do align higher with the black community, just genetically,
okay.
and then Hispanics. And so you do have a higher proportion relative to the population percentage of those two minorities getting hit harder than whites. That's just how it is.
All right, Michael, I appreciate that. I appreciate you having you on. You know what? We'll keep in touch and I'll have you back. This is great stuff. I appreciate it, sir.
I would love it. Thank you so much.
Michael, thank you very much again. He's author of COVID-19 Lockdowns on Trial. We'll be right back. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. And guys out at Extreme would love to help you out with all of your car needs. It's simple. Go to klzradio.com, ask about the Cooper tires at cost, ask about all the other programs they've got. They're the place to go to get your vehicle taken care of in the Parker area, 303-841-1071, or find them at klzradio.com.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need. Take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promise is kept.
All right, Kevin Flesh, if you've got a legal question or you're just not getting things done quickly enough with an accident you've been involved in, call Kevin. He would love to help. It's FLESCH, Kevin Flesh, fleshlawfirm.com or 303-806-8886.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. KLZ's personal injury attorney continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886.
Networks change, benefits change, prescription plans change, and premium costs go up. So you want an independent broker who will compare plans from many different insurance companies, hunting for the right coverage at the best price for you. Group Insurance Analysts, 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush. Dan in Blackhawk, what's going on, sir?
Hey, not much. Hey, driving home, so I caught a little bit of both your last guests. But first, I was talking to you and Rachel last, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, I don't remember when I called
Thursday.
You guys, about invoking the emotions. And this is something that we as conservatives need to figure out, because somehow we have the moniker of not caring for minorities or underprivileged people, which is not true.
Nope.
And
no, you heard my comments with Dr. Green about, you know, in a lot of these cases where we've got these schools, you know, shut down and kids are learning at home, we're actually putting a bigger chasm between the haves and have-nots by what we're doing there. And we all, and I am, we all should be, you know, just you know, spitting mad over that, Dan. We got to get these kids back into school. It's ridiculous what we're doing right now. It's stupid.
Right. And that's where, and Rachel spoke about it, how she wants to invoke the emotions. And we need to make everybody know that conservatives or liberals, it doesn't matter, but conservatives are just as concerned about the underprivileged and the minority communities. And so that's, you know, that's something that we could use, that Dr. Green has, that we can use to our advantage if we just learn how to I don't want to say package it, but how to communicate it.
I think package is the right way. I mean the other side has done a great deal, or has done a great job of literally figuring out how to package fear along with COVID, and have ridden this thing out for the last, literally, Dan, 12 months. So, no, I think package is right. That's exactly what they've done.
And they, and your last guest talked about the outliers, correct?
Right.
And the liberal, left-leaning people are great at using that to project it onto the general population. They... you know, my mom, I remember she told me one news story that, one four-year-old died of COVID, or supposedly died of COVID. And I'm like, well, how many other four-year-olds died yesterday, Mom?
Right.
You know, but news...
And what was the underlying conditions there on top of that? Because four-year-olds just don't die of COVID.
Right, but there might be one or a few cases where that might have happened, but the thing is they will take that and they'll latch onto that.
Right.
And then they project it and say, look at all these kids that are at risk because a four-year-old died
of
COVID.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
And Dan and I, and maybe this is the wrong comparison, and I, by the way, believe in what this organization has done, because I think they've done a lot of good in saving lives when it comes to traffic fatalities and so on. But MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, they literally took every single case across the country of somebody that had been injured, hurt, maimed, or killed in a drunk driving accident, and literally they've got these limits now across all states, to the point where a lot of folks can't even have a regular drink and then go drive afterwards without being over the limit, because they've got these limits so low. And I'm not saying right, wrong, or others. I'm just telling you what this organization was able to do. And by the way, they did it exactly the same way the left has used COVID.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. They put, you were talking about the medical community and how they want power. Well, we've elected the officials that put these people into power because they have the same mindset or paradigm as they do.
Right.
And you know, and that's, I guess that's the thing of victory of winning elections, which I think a lot of people that are on the sidelines that shouldn't be on the sidelines need to realize that, well, it doesn't affect me. Well, it does in the long run, because
sure does.
The people that are elected into power are putting people into positions that that may have an effect,
right,
and most likely will have an effect on how you live your life.
Well said. Dan, I got to leave you at that. Got to run to break. Thanks. And we'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. So be sure to call us. I got one little segment to come back to. Don't go anywhere. A Good Shop is up next. And Al would love to help you out. He is now a certified shop for American National Insurance, one of our great sponsors as well. So they've got three locations to serve you up north, two in North Glen, one in Commerce City. Find them at klzradio.com.
As modern vehicles become safer and more technologically complex, collision repairs also become more specialized. You need an auto body shop that looks to the future, investing in the tools and training they need to fix your vehicle properly. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop have earned OE certifications for brand names like Subaru, Ford, and many others, ensuring you get the parts and service recommended by your vehicle's manufacturer. After a collision, you want to get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition, which means you want the original parts from the manufacturer, not aftermarket parts. Al and his team at A Good Shop continue to earn new OE certifications all the time, so they can have access to all of the databases and software that come directly from the manufacturer. Your insurance company does not recommend auto body shops based on their certifications. Take control of the quality by choosing a certified auto body shop. Schedule an estimate with A Good Shop now at klzradio.com/collision.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. That'll about do it for today. Tomorrow, Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man, will join us in the 3 o'clock hour. And then the Democrats plan to introduce a plan to erase $50,000 of student debt. Yes, we're going to talk about that with Michael Bussler. Andy Pate, of course, will join me, be my co-host tomorrow. Patrick Hedger will also join us. We'll talk about taxes. And then, of course, John Zmierich, Liz Mayer in the final hour. Have a great evening, guys. Be safe. If you missed the first hour, catch it next. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.